Welcome to episode 115 of the Golf Talk Podcast, brought to you by thesandtrap.com. 115 today in honor of the number of three putts I saw last night on Big Break. Alan Olson in...
Wow, Minnesota.
Yeah.
115 mosquitoes.
Phil Mickelson will miss maybe 115 days, we don't know. His wife Amy diagnosed with breast cancer. Phil suspends his tour schedule indefinitely. No word, obviously, as to whether he will play at the U.S. Open. At Bethpage, I tend to think he will. I think Amy will want him out of the house at that point, but no commitments, no obligations. Phil's at home with his family right now.
Yeah, definitely. Our thoughts are definitely with the family at this time, and it will be interesting to see if he does make an appearance at Bethpage. He's always seemingly enjoyed playing in New York, and I think by then, hopefully, he will make an appearance and play. How well he does, that's hard to say.
Yeah, that's the other thing, too. I don't know that he would want to show up just to miss the cut if he feels he's rusty or something, too. So that may work against us seeing Phil at Bethpage. As you said, our thoughts are with Phil and Amy and the rest of the family. We hope to see Phil playing golf soon, just because when we see Phil playing golf, we know that Amy's health will be better just for that reason. Zach Johnson, going back 2 weeks, wins in a playoff at the Texas Open. Birding the first playoff hole, he basically played the 18th twice, almost identically, except hit a slightly better shot the second time from within about a yard of his shot in regulation. Left the birdie putt short in regulation, knocked it right in the back of the cup in overtime.
Yeah, that's after leaving his relatively easy putt on 18 to not go into regulation. Leaves that one short, which was kind of surprising. Boy, you know, it was kind of unexpected to see Zach Johnson even win the thing, except that he threw up a 60, which kind of helps you move up the leaderboard quickly.
Third round 60 will bump you up in any tournament.
That'll do all right. Interestingly enough, though, was it a good win by Zach or a nice choke job by Guidos?
I'm of the opinion that Guidos kind of gagged that one away a little bit. It wasn't a full-on choke, but basically three-putted from just into the fringe on 17. Granted, a long putt, but his first one wasn't within. I mean, he left it 12 feet short. Fluffed a chip like a 12 handicapper there on the 18th hole when he could have chipped it in or certainly gotten up and down to get into the playoff. Kind of gagged that one away. Fluffed that ball, 4 feet.
Yeah.
Barely got out of the fringe.
That was pretty surprising to see that happen. But, nonetheless, good to see Zach win yet again. And here's our plug for the FedEx Cup. He's leading the FedEx Cup.
Yep. The only players with more wins since in the past 9 months or so than Zach Johnson are named Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson. So he's quietly putting together a good career for himself. He's no longer obviously kind of a hokey, fluky major winner. He's got 6, I think, PGA Tour wins now at this point. So like I said, quietly putting together a respectable PGA Tour career and winning 3 times in the past 7 months, I believe, including this tournament twice in the past 7 months, which is tough to do. A little easier when they move it up in the schedule, but it doesn't happen very often. So,
very true, very true.
Congratulations to Zach Johnson. Rory Sabatini, not one of my favorite players, but played well Sunday to win the Byron Nelson by 2 strokes.
It was interesting to see. It's his first win since 2007 when he won at Colonial. He's from the area, or he lives in the area, so he's able to go home and whatnot. He played well. Didn't really know too many of the other guys at the top of the leaderboard at the time other than him. But
yeah, it was a bit of a no-name field, which is sad for a Byron Nelson tournament. But the BMW over on the European Tour sucked up a lot of the top talent, particularly those who play the European Tour halftime or so. So not the strongest field, but a 664 would have beat just about anybody.
Yeah, it certainly was a birdie fest out there, which was fun to see. I mean, if you like to see some scoring, this is definitely one of those tournaments that you can turn on and see quite a few birdies and some eagles and whatnot. So kudos to Rory for winning, and kudos to the rest of the guys. I have no idea finishing in the top 10.
Yeah, that European PGA Tour event that we talked about, Paul Casey birdies the last 2 holes to win by 1 stroke. The last hole's a par 5. I got up and down from a bunker. Made about a 4-foot putt there, 5-foot putt, to win the BMW PGA Championship. You know, if there were a second tier of majors on the European Tour only, or there were European Tour only majors, this might be one of them. So congratulations to Paul Casey, who has now won several times, 3 times in the past couple of months. He's won in the United States. He's won this BMW PGA Championship, and he's won in Dubai.
Yeah, a very impressive win, and you're now looking at the new number 3 player in the world.
the Abu Dhabi Championship, not Dubai. He was also runner-up in the World Match Play earlier this year, so he's also number three in the world. Paul Casey, number three golfer in the world, right behind Tiger and Phil. And with Phil out, who knows, he may be moving up
to
second.
He could be number two very quickly.
Yeah, where's Poulter? Didn't he say he would be up there? Oh, 19th. My goodness. I don't want to hear it.
Just a bit behind.
9.41 for Tiger, 8.23 for Phil, and 6.92 for Paul Casey. So about 1.3 points behind Phil Mickelson at this point for Paul Casey. A big win and certainly a good golfer when he's on. So we'll look for more from Paul Casey.
Giddy up.
We'll be right back after this.
On a scorecard, all shots are created equal.
Stroke is a stroke.
And from the first tee to the 18th green,
there's only one piece of equipment
I use for every one of them.
My golf ball.
And in a game where just one shot can decide a championship,
the ball you play
makes a difference.
And that's why
there's only one ball I'd ever play.
That's why there's only one ball
I'd ever play.
Performance counts. Quality counts. Every shot counts. Titleist, the number one ball in golf.
Our forum topic of the week is brought to us by NorCal Golfer, who is wondering what your thoughts are on the golf season so far this year. He is thinking it's a little bland, a little boring. To some degree, I'd have to agree with him. You've had the Tiger come back, which was big. But you've had a lot of the big names, the younger stars that we saw last year make a big splash, as far as like Anthony Kim and whatnot, really haven't done much. And some of the guys that have won this year, you're kind of having to search through the PGA players database to find out who they are.
Well, that's my point, though. How many of those young players that made a name for themselves last year won this early last year? None of them did. Camilo Villegas didn't win anything until the FedEx Cup series. Vijay Singh won two events there in the FedEx Cup thing to kind of wrap it up early. But, you know, I mean, last year, what do we have? The Masters last year was so-so. You know, another grind with Trevor Immelman winning. I don't know. You know, things didn't heat up in golf last year until, Tiger was out from the Masters until the U.S. Open last year. Don't forget that. Aside from Tiger winning on six broken legs or whatever last year, Anthony Kim and Camilo Villegas winning or getting hot later in the year, I think memory is making things fonder for this particular poster than reality is.
Yeah, that could very well be.
I think the Masters is more exciting this year. The Players was one of the best displays of golf we've seen from Henrik Stenson. Maybe more exciting last year, but that's just one event. Tiger's made a comeback this year and won in dramatic fashion, granted with some help from Sean O'Hare, but still a dramatic win with a 20-foot putt on the last hole to win and a big celebration. I'd put them about on an even keel, and we're a third of the way through, so we've had one major. Just wait a little while, I think.
Yeah, that could very well be. And perhaps we are seeing, we're used to seeing some of the bigger names win once in a while, but, it could be the kind of a change in the guard, if you will, of some of the guys that we'd expect in the top 10 to maybe get a win.
Phil's won twice.
Phil's won. That's great.
Adam Scott's nowhere. That's nothing normal. Nothing abnormal, I mean.
Nope.
Vijay Singh, we knew he's old. He's over the hill. Ernie Els, I don't know. None of the big names. The big names are done. Except for Phil and Tiger. So, I don't know. Jeff Ogilvie's won twice. Kenny Perry was in it. I don't know. The more I look at it, the more I think absence is making his heart grow fonder for last year.
Oh, that could very well be.
Be right back with Beating Balls after this message.
The most important shot is the one you're about to hit. A shot on Thursday is every bit as critical
as one on Sunday afternoon.
In competition,
one shot can be the difference.
The difference it takes to win.
That's why the ball you play
makes a difference.
So the question isn't, why do I play tightest?
But rather,
why would I play anything else?
Why would I play anything else?
Performance counts. Quality counts. Every shot counts. Titleist, the number one ball in golf.
Well, the first story in our Beating Ball segment is kind of a sad one. To some degree, I guess.
I'm sad.
It's kind of an end of an era. We'll have the link, and obviously, but the name, the iconic name of golf equipment, is now owned by Golfsmith.
McGregor.
Yeah, this is just bizarre. McGregor's been around 112 years, making just fantastic golf clubs, and they've had some problems over the last decade or so. Greg Norman's been an owner and whatnot. Yeah, they've pretty much disappeared off the planet, and now they are going to be part of the Golfsmith brand along with Snake Eyes and Killer Bees. Oh my.
Yeah, what company, right? Lynx kind of made a name for themselves, but they were never McGregor. And if Lynx is your top tier brand prior, I don't know, I feel sorry for McGregor at this point. I don't know. My first set of clubs were McGregor, Jack Nicklaus, VIP, Muscleback Blade things that I still have down in the basement. So, I don't know. A sad day.
Yeah, it definitely. This is just utterly bizarre that this would be what McGregor has become. That this would be it. That you'd go there and you'd buy, I don't know, components or something, or I don't know. Which is really bizarre, because I thought their 2009 product lineup was pretty strong, looked pretty sharp, and but obviously if there's no support for it, apparently it's time to go bye-bye.
In these troubled economic times.
There we go.
Blah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah, blah.
Europe gets a captain's pick for the Ryder Cup. Now they'll have three, which is kind of an odd number, because they pull their team from two lists, although I guess one takes precedence, so they'll probably do 5 and 4 from their two lists, but now they have three captain's pick. I think they should just go with 4 captain's picks like we have now. Make it even. Whatever. 3. It may help them, it may not. They do get some odd people that qualify occasionally in their auto-qualifying thing. So, will this make it more fair?
I think it'll make it more fair. I think it'll make it more interesting on the fact that you would be able to pick somebody who's maybe not up there in points, but is somebody who would be a good fit for the team, or somebody who's maybe a big name who's just gotten hot at that point of the season, but not hot enough to be able to get up into the top 10 or whatever. I think it's a good move, but it'd be nice to see him kind of match up with the U.S. and have 4 and 4.
Yeah, plus now Monty can pick himself.
Ooh.
Without feeling quite as bad. No, he's not going to do that.
We would hope not, maybe. But on the LPGA side, is it Ji Young Oh wins the Seabase Classic? Seabase Classic.
Yeah. This was 2 weeks ago, and the only reason we're bringing it up is to point out that Michelle had a chance to win and didn't do much, but finishes third. At the Corning Classic, she finished tied for 26 or something like that. Michelle Wee's putting together a decent year. If you look at her as a 19-year-old rookie on the LPGA Tour, I think she's second in the Rookie of the Year chase. On the official money list, she's 16th. She was 15th. She's 16th by about $1,000. So top 20 on the money list. That's all I'm trying to point out here.
Yeah, a good year thus far, and as long as she doesn't keep talking about wanting to play with the men, I think she'll be fine.
They got a major coming up. We'll see.
Speaking of majors, or major fashion statement, John Daly.
Or major appetites.
There are major appetites for all things that will kill you. John Daly is going to make a return to the PGA Tour at the St. Jude Classic in Memphis, and we will get to see his pajama pants and awesome t-shirts, or awesome golf shirts.
Yeah, coming back from the suspension that the PGA Tour never talked about and denied kind of ever having given out, the suspension that wasn't is over, and he's getting a sponsor's invitation because he has no status, from what I understand, on the PGA Tour, getting a sponsor's invitation to the Memphis event. Site of many John Daly happenings in previous years, but as someone pointed out, there aren't too many places on the PGA Tour where there aren't John Daly happenings from previous years.
No, I think he could check off every town that they've had a PGA event in the last 15 years.
He's been playing well, but it's tough to say how well, given the level of competition on most of the European Tour events he's played. I'd give him about a 50-50 chance of making the cut.
Mm.
It goes up if he can not drink any beer the entire time.
Yeah, if he stays out of the beer tents, I think he'll be fine. But I give him about a 30% chance of making the cut.
Like they say, you can't get drunk if you don't take the first sip.
Ooh, good advice.
I don't know if that's an Alcoholics Anonymous thing or what, but somebody said it. That about does it for episode 115 of the Golf Talk Podcast, brought to you by thishandtrap.com. For links to all the stories, check the show notes. For Alan Olson, this is Eric Brzezinski saying, what's wrong with pajama pants?
Go pajama pants.